kids and PTSD. I am going through a series called Demystifying the DSM, and the DSM clearly differentiates PTSD in children less than 6 years old. But I can tell you from my experience, the presentation all the way to teen years can look slightly different in children. So I am Christy Bundikumara, Dr. B, a psychiatric nurse practitioner with over 20 years of clinical experience. I'm also the mother of 7 children, 5 of which are adopted, 3 of which of those adopted children had pretty significant traumatic pasts and would meet criteria for PTSD. However, their symptom presentation was completely different. Okay, so watch the whole video on the criteria for PTSD, because I'm going to go through the criteria kind of quickly, because I want to focus more on how it would be different with children. So they have all the same criteria. Criteria A is there needs to be some exposure. Criteria B, there needs to be intrusive either memories, dreams, disassociation. Criteria C is there needs to be some sort of avoidant behavior. Criteria D, they must have at least 2 symptoms of mood or cognition. And criteria E, there's a change in arousal, like irritability, restlessness, hypervigilance. We know that these symptoms have to be occurring for longer than 1 month and be impairing function and not be related to a substance. So how might those things be different in children? Anytime a child who was apparently normal, no mood or cognition symptoms, and then kind of abruptly makes a change in mood and cognition and behavior and arousal, the first thing we think of as a professional is, did they experience some trauma? Okay. And it is very heartbreaking when this happens in a family where the family is trying very hard to be protective of their children, and something happens that changes that child. Sometimes the loved ones know, sometimes they don't. It comes out with therapy. So it's super important, if there is an abrupt change in your child, that you get that assessed, right? And be asking those questions, be talking to our children as young as they can comprehend on how to avoid trauma, how to avoid someone violating their personal space, either physically or sexually. And, you know, educating them to make sure that they tell, right? So these are the things that we can do very early. But let's say you have a child, your child, who has trauma, who has experienced trauma. You did your best to protect your child and something happened. Okay. Do not beat yourself up. That's number one, right? And if you are personally struggling with depression, anxiety around what may have happened to your child, please seek help for yourself. Learn the mentally strong method, right? But for children, in these, you know, kind of intrusive thoughts, avoidance, mood and cognition, we do also teach them the mentally strong method. And it depends on the age of how we can really process that, right? So between under the age of 5, it's really more play therapy, which we do not do specifically at Mentally Strong, but, you know, working with a designated either play therapist or someone who is knows how to work very well with young children. We can start using cognitive behavioral, more behavioral, from that like age 6 to 8, where we can start teaching how to organize their thoughts and how to make choices, right? We, at Mentally Strong, we don't specifically talk about trauma, but we allow them to identify grief, identify negative thoughts, identify the the way that this is impacting them and what do they have control over. It's also important that, you know, treatment begins after safety is established. And I have a couple missionary friends in some pretty rough places around the world, and they are working with kids that are still in this horrible, abusive, both, you know, either physically or sexually situation, and there's nothing they can do but be support for that child. But you have to know that true healing occurs when safety is present. If you go back to the basics of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we need to feel safe in order to, you know, have those building blocks for self-actualization. But how might this look differently? In children, it is often coming out in behaviors. They don't know how to express intrusive thoughts. I had a bad dream. Maybe they can say, I had a bad dream. But it's not directly the trauma, so they don't know how to connect that trauma. Maybe they have memories that come up, but they're not quite sure if they're real memories or not real memories. And so a young mind under the age of six is going to not be able to communicate, you know, these intrusive thoughts. You might see the avoidance. You might see mood and cognition changes. You might see changes in arousal, but they're not going to be able to communicate that. And so making sure that we have an environment that is teaching them how to think, organize, and make choices to safety for themselves. Children ages like 6 to 11, this is a prime age, and I believe I made some mistakes. When I adopted my children, I knew that there was trauma. And I truly believe that if I just loved them and gave them a loving, supportive, environment, that they would grow and learn and just naturally heal because they were in a safe place. And I missed this opportunity, specifically kind of that 8 to 11, maybe 8 to 15, where they are still very influenceable, right? This is a time, if you have adopted a child or if your child has experienced trauma, I believe that this 8 to teen years is the prime time to really begin that healing. But what happens is the child's not, maybe not expressing any symptoms, and so we don't go seek help. And but then they get to those teenage years, and that trauma and the negative thoughts that the trauma has caused in them are impacting their choices as a teenager. We all know, you know, that rebellious teen, or we call them rebellious teen, that really is just reacting to their trauma. So if you have a child in that, you know, what I think is that the prime age of 8 to 12, 15, let's start teaching them how to think, organize, and choose while we still have a really good influence on them. Because we all know that teenagers don't listen anymore or have a more difficult time listening. And especially if they've been having those negative thoughts for all those years and never told anybody, and now it's manifesting. And again, this is, you know, if you have a teenager experiencing symptoms, also let's get them diagnosed and treated, right? We know that trauma changes the brain. We know that trauma can be treated. And so let's, you know, my challenge to parents out there is let's, you know, aggressively treat. And I say that, and then my brain chuckled a little bit because we have several clients that the parents bring them in and they say, oh, this happened to my child. I need them to be in counseling, to to fix this, to make sure that it's not impacting, it doesn't impact them later. And the kid's in there going, I don't have any problems. I don't have anything to talk about. I don't want to talk about this. What we do at Mentally Strong is we kind of try to shift that and say, well, everybody needs to know the Mentally Strong method. Everybody needs to know how to think, organize, and choose. And so we do some of that. But I also think that parents can do this. I believe that parents or loved ones, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever is influential adults in a child's life have more influence and more impact in helping heal trauma and teaching children how to think, organize, and choose than any professional could. Okay? But it also starts with you. You can't lead a child in a direction that you know nothing about, right? If you don't know how to do 10th grade math, you can't help your 10th grader with their 10th grade math. The same is true in mental health. If you don't know how to think, organize, and choose, and really using cognitive behavioral self-improvement techniques to better yourself, to say that you are mentally strong, that to say that you are mentally and emotionally healthy, you're not going to be able to lead children in that. So my challenge to parents is learn how to take care of yourself and be that influence in your child's life of teaching them how to be mentally healthy, even when negative things have happened. Okay, so I know it's a tough one. I know it's a tough one to emotionally and mentally raise a child who has experienced trauma. But like acknowledge it, learn, continue educating yourself. And I challenge you to be that adult that helps them heal. I believe that if we, kind of go in this head on and really start with this, we can raise mentally strong kids, even in the midst of trauma. We can do it. I think many of us are scared. We're like, I've adopted this child. I know they have trauma. I don't know anything about trauma. And so therefore I can't help them. I'll take them to counseling. Oh, they don't want to go, and it's kind of this back and forth where if you know how to take care of yourself, and you're just teaching them how to take care of themselves. And when the trauma comes up, if you need professional therapy, you deal with that then. But giving them a foundation of mental strength is going to be crucial. You can do this. I really believe that we can raise mentally strong kids and that we as parents are that strength for them. And we continue to develop ourselves and we develop our children because we are mentally strong. If you got to the end of the video, you obviously enjoyed some of the content. I have a lot of free content out there. I am really trying to empower everyone to find their mental strength. So subscribe, get the actual notifications, and let's embrace this journey of mental strength. See you there.